Welcome to the Daily Real Estate Investor Podcast. I'm your host, Josiah Smelser. The Daily Real Estate Investor Podcast is the shared journey of building a real estate investment property business from square one. Join me as we learn together how to conquer the real estate game to reach financial freedom. Together, we will learn from people in all areas of real estate and business in our personal trek towards escaping the rat race. Be you. Do the work you love. Play the long game. Welcome back, everybody, for another episode of the Daily Real Estate Investor Podcast. I am excited today to have Lawrence Briggs on the show. Lawrence, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Josiah. I'm so excited to be on this podcast.
Absolutely. I appreciate you and all the support you've given to me. When I came out with my book, I remember you leaving a review and putting a picture of yourself with the book on there. I thought that was super cool.
Yes, I still have it.
Awesome. Look at that. That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you.
Well, I have to get it autographed.
Yes, absolutely. I'd love to do that. The reason it's funny, the reason I remember your review is because you put your picture in there. Like most people just write something, you know? So I really do appreciate that though. It's funny how much, like when you're doing something creative, how much you appreciate people supporting you. Like, I don't think sometimes when you're not in that mode, that creative mode, you don't think about other people who are being creative. You don't necessarily think about, you know, supporting them necessarily. Maybe it just doesn't come to mind. But when you're doing something creative, it means a lot. So I appreciate that. I definitely do.
You're welcome. And,
I'm excited to let you share your story with the audience because it's a great story. So let's start off with tell us where you're located currently and tell us about kind of, you know, your life history and how you got interested in real estate investing.
Of course. So I currently live in Central Texas. It is about an hour north of Austin near the Fort Hood, Fort Cavazos area. I'm originally from New Orleans, Louisiana. That's where I was born and raised. For me, my upbringing was what it was. Unfortunately, I was born into poverty, which led my mother, who was a single parent, to raise me and my sisters in a New Orleans housing development. So we were raised in the New Orleans housing development. It's called the B.W. Cooper or the Calio Project. It has historically been one of the most dangerous housing projects in New Orleans. But ironically, my mother did her best to not allow my environment to shape my future. So for us, we did not really play outside as much. She definitely tried to keep us inside of where we were living so we would not get exposed to the drug activity, the, you know, just criminal behavior that you would see in any type of, unfortunately, low income housing area. So that was one major thing that she did. And then the second thing that she did was she was big on exposing us to things that were outside of where we were living. For me, that was sending me to a private Catholic school. So I was like one of the only kids in my area being bused from the housing projects to the suburbs to attend private Catholic school with people who had both parents and parents who were in a way better financial position than my mother. So I went to school with kids whose parents were doctors and lawyers and business owners. And here my mother was a high school dropout at earliest 10th grade and a janitor in hospitals. But she knew that exposure was big. And if she could de-expose me to what I was living in, it would let me know that my current situation does not define my future.
I love it.
So with that, you know, my mother eventually moved us out of the housing projects, but we started to encounter slumlords living in rental houses where landlords would delay maintenance, and we would be subject to being cold in the winter, hot in the summers, having to use the restroom outside because of misshift DIY, you know, do-it-yourself plumbing, things that landlords would do instead of getting, you know, reliable and professional contractors to take care of the property. And I was like, you know what? I want to be the person who owns the property, because I would never want to treat someone who's living there like we were being treated. So with that and a little game called Monopoly, those two things shaped my desire to want to own rental properties. It was one, I didn't want to be subject to living in low poverty or being someone who owned something and didn't allow people to have adequate living spaces. And then this competitive drive of this game called Monopoly, where you own something and people pay you. So that's essentially my backstory. I self-taught myself financial literacy. So I was big on trying to read as many books as possible, especially those people who were successful in real estate. You know, whenever I looked up, you know, people who were financially free, everything pointed back to real estate. So that's where I'm originally from. And now I am, you know, living out my childhood dream.
I love it. You got an amazing mom, first of all, that that was prioritizing putting her kids ahead of herself, putting you in the best school she could, keeping you out of harm's way where you were living. Like, that to me is what parenting is about. You got to do what's best for your kids at all times with what you have to work with. You know what I mean? So kudos to her for that. And yeah, I love this story because, you know, you know what it's like to be in poverty, and you play this game of Monopoly, and you saw that, hey, and you also saw from your landlords, these people are making money owning this real estate, and we're renting it from them, and it's paying off their mortgage. And, you know, Monopoly, it's as simple as somebody lands on your hotel and they give you money, right? And that's how you win the game, right? And
it's exactly,
it's such a simple concept. But I remember as a kid loving Monopoly because, you know, it's like when you win the game, when you're winning the game, basically, people are just, I mean, you've got hotels on everything, you know? And it's like, no matter where somebody lands, you're getting paid. And I just remember loving that because I thought that was the coolest concept. And I remember as a kid, I remember walking around my neighborhood. We didn't live in a fancy neighborhood. It was like middle of the road, C-class neighborhood. I remember just walking around looking at all the different houses and thinking, I love houses. Like, what is it about real estate that I like so much? Like, I just like looking at all these different houses. It's so cool. And I think I had the real estate bug from a young age as well. So let's talk about, you know, how you got into real estate investing. What was your first move? How did you learn about this? You said you were self-taught. Let's talk about that process.
Of course. So I pretty much, you know, Google is our friend, Google University, you know, YouTube College. And I, you know, had this background in student housing. So whenever I was in college, I was an RA, and that helped me become, you know, a debt-free college student. So that helped pay for my college. I was able to graduate college debt-free, becoming an RA. And whenever I graduated from college, instead of going to law school, I had almost 4+ years of a resume with real estate, ironically, because student housing is real estate, you know, on-campus living is real estate. And I started working in privatized housing for 2 publicly traded student housing companies. From there, I remember, you know, being a leasing and marketing manager of a multi-million-dollar high rise in Austin, Texas, and breaking pre-lease portfolio numbers with a reduced marketing budget without any concessions. And our executives, one of the executives looked at me and said, Lawrence, your mind is so creative. If you could do this on your own, you would be a force to be reckoned with. And again, I had that thought that I wanted to buy real estate, but it looked different. It looked like, oh, I was going to be a lawyer and then I'll wait and, you know, it'll just come along. I wasn't doing things with intention. And so when, you know, I looked at my salary, which was something that I agreed to accept, and then I looked at the multi-million dollars that I was making these investors and at these two publicly traded student housing companies, and my executives are enjoying a life that I want, not one that I'm jealous of. I think that sometimes, unfortunately, you know, people will shun those who are successful. You know, yes, those executives were having nice cars and having, you know, exotic trips, but I can do the same thing if I take action and go after, you know, to better my financial future. So I had that aha moment and I said, I'm just going to start buying real estate. And my thought process was to buy one property a year. Like, let me just own and occupy and buy a property. But here I was living in Austin, Texas in 2017. And if anyone knows of that market, like, I moved to Austin, Texas in 2013. And from 2013 to 2017, prices went through the roof. Mm-hmm. And so I said, if I want to start this thing, like own and occupy properties, I can't do this in Austin, Texas, not with the salary that I had. So I took action, moved an hour north, and I purchased my first primary residence. And I purchased it in the intention of just living in the property for 1 year and then doing the same thing, rinse and repeat, just buy, own, occupy. But when I bought it in 2019, well, a year later, it was 2020. So we all know what happened in 2020. So yeah. For me, I loved looking at my equity because my property pretty much almost tripled in value.
Yeah.
But now I was like, I don't want to own or occupy something that's now double like what I purchased last year. Almost 2 years ago, is now double. And I looked at my bank account and I was like, hey, I don't think I can own or occupy once a year. Like, and I didn't want to lose that much equity because I can have a HELOC. So in 2020, while everyone was, you know, at home, I got out, started delivering food, and I said, I'm just going to start buying properties with 15% down. And that was the move. So my strategy, I had to pivot because, again, it wasn't with as much intention. Like, I literally thought that I was just going to, you know, buy a property every year and just, you know, eventually build a portfolio. But I remember actually reading in your book, Dream It and Build It, how you broke down, okay, if you want to have 10 properties or you want to have, you know, these many properties, you need to have a plan. And I remember in your book looking at the plan that you had originally with all of your properties of like, this is what I'm going to do in year one, year two, year three, year four. And so for so many people, I think the biggest thing is having a plan. And so that plan was owner occupy first for me, because I wanted to experience being a homeowner first. You know, when you own something, you can't just call someone else to take care of it and not pay for it because you are the owner. So that allowed me to experience, oh yeah, when that AC breaks and it's a tenant, I have to go do that because I'm living the same lifestyle of, you know, not being a renter anymore, but being an owner. So yeah, that was pretty much my shaping of how do I buy real estate, you know. And I, you know, I listen to podcasts. I found you in 2020 on the Bigger Pockets podcast. You had not one, but two episodes. And so I was like, they gave him not one, but two episodes. And so I found you on social media, and then I bought your book. And then I reached out to you via social media, if you remember, on Instagram. And I said, what books do you recommend? And so it was just, you know, not just going through the motions, but taking action, you know.
Yeah.
If someone is listening to this podcast, that's great. They're taking action. Now, what are you going to do from it? And I think that what separates the people like me who went in and bought two properties within 6 months of each other with 15% down versus someone saying, okay, I want to have three or four doors in 2 years. Well, how does that look?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's such a great point. You know, it's easy to have goals. It's easy to have big goals, but how are you going to get from point A to point B, right? How are you going to get from no real estate properties to two? Because that's the zero to one, that's a big shift. It's a big step, right? So if you got no real estate, you've got options. Like, you could do the BRRRR strategy. You could buy something and put 10, 15, 20% down. You could house hack. You could do 3.5% down, 5% down, go that way. You know, this is what I love about the story is you had a goal, you had a plan, but you realized that Austin, Texas was too expensive to house hack. So you pivoted, and the pivot's the key, and you moved an hour outside of Austin and you got your property there. Now, how's that area doing?
This area is doing amazing. You know, I purchased my primary residence November of 2019, and in April of 2022, my property desktoped appraised at 160. Desktop, they didn't have to come out to the property. So from $68,000 in November of 2019 to April of 2022, it's now worth $160,000 and going. Like, there's a property two houses down from me that's $169,000 for sale. There's a five houses down, there's an active flip. So my background in student housing helped me a lot, because whenever I would get performers from corporate, and they'll say, hey, do you think this property would do well in this market? And I just had this skill of being able to look and say, oh yeah, I think this is going to be up and coming, or like, oh, it's probably going to be declining mm-hmm. or whatsoever. You know, I'm not I don't have a real estate license, appraisal license or anything like that. But when I moved out here, I was like, this property is going to do well. Now, did I think that it was going to do this well within 5 years? No. What I seen in the last 5 years is what I thought would have been happening 10 years from when I purchased it. And it's doing amazing. And, mm-hmm. you know, that let me know that I wanted my rentals in this area. And so literally I purchased a rental property February of 2022, and then I purchased a rental property July of 2022. And so I think, or I would say, I that's how I was getting this buzz on social media, because people are like, oh my gosh, like, how did you buy two properties within 6 months of each other? No investors, no backers, just 15% down, good credit. But what they didn't see was the hustle in 2020, the getting off at 5:30 p.m. and delivering food to midnight Monday through Friday, the 16-hour shifts on Saturday and Sunday, the $15,000+ that I made part-time just delivering food, the overall $20,000+ that I saved from being frugal and delivering food, the networking that I did, the analyzing of market of the market when I was essentially driving for dollars. I was like, if I'm going to be out here delivering food, I'm going to know every single street in this neighborhood. So my biggest thing is that people want the results for the work that they don't do. And that's why they are complacent and they're stuck where they are. And then I'm probably not going to be liked for this, but many people are stuck in situations that they are. It's because of pride. And sometimes you have to put your pride aside. I don't care if I'm a summa cum laude graduate of Nicholls State University. I am not too prideful to go and deliver food.
Yeah.
Because I watched my mother literally clean hospitals. And she should be thanked and praised just like the top surgeons in the hospital. And so when people want these results, they don't want to do the work. And I'm sorry, I'm probably like the most blunt person on social media when it comes to real estate. I'm not going to say it's easy. It's going to be hard. I'm not going to say it's going to be all good. Will it be worth it? Sure. But it's not going to be hard, and you can't be lazy. And that's not popular these days. That'll just get you a lot of clicks or whatever, but I'm going to keep it real because it would be a disservice of me as a human being to sit up there and tell people, oh yeah, like I just, you know, randomly got these two properties within 6 months of each other. No, that was hard work put behind it. And I think, and I know that's what's going to separate, you know, the instant investors from the ones who are going to be in it for the long haul within the next few years.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The question is, how bad do you want it? Right. And if you have too much pride to get off at 5 o'clock and go start doing the second shift and delivering DoorDash or whatever, you don't want it bad enough. Right. And with my business, from the point at which we started, we worked our absolute tails off for 5 years and did not take a penny out of the business. I'm talking, we were buying properties and doing BRRRR properties and refinances, managing contractors, and all kinds of problems popped up, you know. And I was also running my appraisal business, running my brokerage, running two other businesses, and handling all that, helping my wife start her business, managing the kids during the COVID shutdown. It was just chaos, you know, and that's how bad I wanted it. And that's what got me to where I am today. But people on social media don't see that stuff. They just see you buying the vacation rentals and making a lot of money or whatever. It's like, for 5 years, I worked my tail off and got zero. You know what I mean? And that's like you know, for several years in there, you delivered food, you saved money, you lived below your means because you wanted those properties. Now you got those properties. Now you got this house that's gone up $100,000 in value in 3 years. So this is how real estate can change your life. You can go from in poverty when you started off to educating yourself to to work ethic, hard work, living below your means, to digging yourself out. And that's what this does for you. I mean, it's changed my life. It's changed your life. It can change people that are listening to this podcast lives as well, but it's not easy. It's not going to be handed to you. There are going to be a lot of problems you're going to have to deal with. Ooh. And you're going to have to check your pride at the door, and you're going to have to roll up your sleeves and do some hard work to get there.
And yes, and that's what I tell people all the time. And I tell them to start where they are. You know, when I first did that first delivery, I didn't think that I was going to have those properties that fast, but I knew that if I was consistent with doing this side hustle and I was responsible to not spend the money, then it was going to happen. You know, at the end of 2020, I had made just on food deliveries, like I said, just on food deliveries, $15,000. But I didn't buy the first rental property until February of 2022. So that's within 2 years. So still live below my means. And if I can give, you know, the listeners a big takeaway from that is start where you are. You know, what can you do now? When I wanted to buy, I I was already a frugal person, and I was just like, there's no way for me to cut. I can't cut anything else from my budget. You know, I liked my position of my job and all of that. So I was like, okay, well, I can't ask for more money for that particular job. So what do I do? What do I do to move the needle to be able to start getting that extra income? And so I just went online. Google is our friend, and started Googling, you know, popular side hustles that, you know, you're able to do on your own time. And that led me to delivering food. And like I said, you just have to write out the plan and then take the action.
Love it. Absolutely love it. So what are your, so how are you managing these properties you own?
I self-manage my properties. So I self-manage my properties from my cell phone. A huge caveat is that, of course, I do have a background in student housing and property management. So I you know, have that experience. But pretty much it's all me. I just do not do any maintenance. I leave that to the professionals, and I hire qualified and, you know, reliable professionals. So for me, most people wonder, like, how do I self-manage with a full-time job as well as still doing food deliveries on the side? And I would say the biggest thing is systems and processes, SOPs, systems and processes. Those are so important. And when I tell people about self-managing, I always break it up or divide it into different phases. So the first phase that takes up the most of my time would be the leasing phase, the pre-leasing phase, because you're getting a property ready, you have to list it, you're doing tours, you're screening tenants. So, you know, I use a property management software, and it allows me to list the property, allows me to screen applicants, and it also allows me to upload my lease agreement and do all that. So I would say that's the biggest, most time consuming, is getting the tenant into the property. And then you would get that tenant acclimated. And so that's where your policies and procedures come in. It shouldn't be the second month or the third month of the tenant moving in and they don't know how to adequately submit a maintenance request. Like, they should already know before they even submit their security and deposit, like, how to submit their rental payment as well as any maintenance requests or anything of that nature. But now, whenever a tenant's in place, I think I spend maybe 4 or 5 hours a week, if that, on my properties. I made sure to network with local contractors. So I always say get a good electrician, plumber, cleaner, and just a, if you can, all around jack of all trades handy person. So I have those reliable contacts. And whenever there's maintenance, like I said, I do not do maintenance. I'm not above it. It's just that I'm not, I'd rather pay a professional. And my policy with maintenance is that the tenant will never be waiting on us. It's always us waiting on the tenant, because every maintenance request in my book is urgent. And I lead and pride my business with top tier customer service. So yeah, I always tell people I just self-manage from my phone, like maybe 3 or 4 or 5 hours out of the week. And then, of course, when you have turnover, that's when you have a good amount of time that's being put into place.
I love it. What kind of software are you using?
So the reason why I mentioned it, because I don't know if this is sponsored or not.
Oh no. Yeah, it's fine. I mean, we're not sponsored by anybody.
Okay. So I use Inago.
Okay.
And so I've been using them for a year. I used them a year before I even, you know, became like an affiliate or anything like that. Yeah. But yes, I use Inago. There's tons of great ones out there. I would say whenever you are looking for a property management software, you want it to be user-friendly. That's top tier. User-friendly to you as the landlord, and especially the tenant. it will be great if it has an app. So that's why I like the property management software that I use. It has a interface for desktop and it does have an app. So it literally alerts me if there's a maintenance request. I can add contractors in. It allows pictures and videos. And then also I use Google Voice for my phone line. So you guys, it doesn't, you know, cost a lot of money to self-manage your properties. So for me, I have a Google Voice. They're able to text and call via there, but they know what's considered an emergency or not because of those policies and procedures that are in place. And the reason why I decided to self-manage is because all of my properties are within 1 mile of each other and within 1 mile of where I live. Like my current rental is literally the street behind me, so I can walk there. Mm-hmm. I've actually walked there before. And also right now, the reason why I prefer self-managing is because I prefer to pay top tier when it comes to maintenance. And then also there are going to be a few add value projects and capital to expenditures that I want to put into the property. And I like to reinvest into real estate. So I am not taking a dime from my rentals. I've had my rental properties almost for a year, both of them. And I have not taken, I mean, I have an account that says, you know, owner's pay, but I don't use that money. That's going right back into the business, which is interesting because when you own rental property, family and friends think that you're a millionaire. I'm like, I have two rental properties and a primary. I am not a multi-millionaire yet.
You may have really millions in real estate, but if you decide to plow that money back into your business, you're not living off of any of it. So
exactly, you
know, yeah, that's funny. Yeah, and it's interesting. You know, I mentioned that I did the same thing in my first 5 years. You know, anytime we had a big win financially, it just went right back into growing our business, and that's the gasoline you throw on the fire. Like that's why you're going to be extraordinarily successful is because you've already got traction, but you're reinvesting and you're reinvesting to grow. And like you figured out how to make this work. You figured out how to cash flow on real estate, how to buy real estate. You figured out how to do it. Now you got money coming in from those properties and you're going to be reinvesting to grow. And as you do that, as you grow, eventually it's like Monopoly, right? The income from the properties gets so great, you don't need either one of those jobs anymore and you can do real estate full time. And then if you still reinvest at least a portion of your profit, sky's the limit, right? Because now you got time to actually work on it too. That's where it gets really interesting. But yeah, this is awesome stuff, man. So tell me, people out there that want to do this that don't have any properties, all right? How do they get started?
Of course, the first thing would be to educate yourself. If you're listening to this podcast, you're being educated. From there, you need to write out a plan. For me, I believe that the easiest way to get started in real estate is to own occupy a property. Just, you know, my initial down payment on this property was a few thousand dollars. I was able to get a Freddie Mac Home Possible loan and I put down 3%. So that's easy money. You know, you know, as investors, we wish that we can get true investment properties for, you know, under $15,000 that are turnkey. So I would say first, just start with the primary residence. And from there, determine if you want to live in it for a year and move out, or if you want to scale much faster than that. Now, you don't have to house hack. So when I purchased my property, I've never had anyone. It's a single family home. I've never rented out any rooms just because by the time I decided to purchase a property, I didn't feel comfortable with having roommates. So I adequately made sure I purchased something that would allow me to save some money. So I would say first start with a primary residence. If you know yourself and you can house hack, that's great. You know, definitely try to do a duplex or a fourplex. But what's next? And you have to be realistic with yourself. So when you do write down those goals are going to have, you know, time and money. how much time can you truly commit to going after your real estate dreams, and how much money can you get? For some people, that may be partnerships. That's not the case for me. For some people, it may be, like I said, the house hacking way or partnerships, which are great. Know what type of buyer you want to be. And that's where your real estate strategy and your buy box comes into place. Because if you don't have a true real estate strategy and a buy box, you're going to be teetering all over the place. So for me, I knew that I wanted to do this on my own. And I don't knock partnerships, but I come from poverty where my mother never owned anything. And I'm the first person to have generational wealth in my family. So I'm trying to get as many properties that's going to, you know, stay in the Briggs legacy for a while. And it also allows people to know when you do want to do partnerships, oh, wow, this guy literally busted his tail to do this himself. So I knew I wanted to do this on my own. I knew I wanted single family homes. I knew I wanted pretty much turnkey properties because I know the Burr strategy is great, but I was like, if I can, you know, get properties that I can easily get a loan on, that'll be great. And so from that buy box, that's where you would want to make sure that you are networking and putting yourself out there. So I would say first, educate yourself overall on real estate and use as many free resources as possible. Then the second thing would be determine your strategy and your buy box. Just because someone else did a certain strategy and a buy box, you may not even like that. So determine your strategy, your buy box. And then the third thing is to essentially market yourself, where you're telling people you're a real estate investor and you're also networking, because both of my properties were purchased off market directly from the sellers. And I beat out cash buyers in 2022. And so many people were like, how did you do that? Again, I wasn't teetering. I knew my strategy and I knew exactly what I wanted. And I had a strong why, of course. And so things that didn't even look like it was going to be my strategy or outside my buy box, I ignored it. That became noise. And that's how I was able to get both of those properties. You know, the property in February that I purchased, it appraised $12,000 over the contract price. The property that I bought in July, it appraised $40,000 over the contract price.
Nice. That's awesome. I love it. Yeah, it's so true that you have to drown out the noise of what everybody else is doing, right? And you got to look at your situation. You almost got to act as a consultant that's been brought in to examine your own business plan, right? Your business plan is there. You're like, I want to buy 10 properties in this amount of time. Okay. Well, what's your income source? Well, I have a W-2 job. Okay. So these hours are taken up. How much money can you save? Well, I think I can save $200 a month. Okay. Well, it's going to take you 5 years to be able to have enough money to put 3% down on something. What if you got another job? Okay. Then I could do it in 2 years. Okay. Well, are you willing to do that? You know, or what if you changed jobs and doubled your income? Or what if, you know, so it's like, you got to act as a consultant for yourself and not worry about what this other person's doing, this other person's doing. You got to figure out, what do I need to do to get from zero to one? And then can I keep doing that? How do I scale it? Because everybody's situation is different, right? And so that's what I love that you did. You figured that out and you've taken that action. And I think that is what separates the people that listen and they want to do it and they don't do it. It's that, okay, I'm going to take massive action and I'm doing it. And come hell or high water, I'm doing it. And they're committed to drowning out the noise, right? They don't get distracted. Because today, if you have zero real estate and you're listening to this, you can have a property in the next few years if you set your mind to doing it. You could have it in the next few months, really, depending on your situation. It's possible. There's all kinds of crazy stories in real estate about how, you know, people wanted to do something and how they did it. But it is within your grasp and you just have to go after it. So I love this story. I really appreciate you sharing all this. What are your goals? What are your long-term goals?
My long-term goals, I definitely want to have at least 10 properties to be able to leave to my family, like a legacy. So that's probably like my biggest why, is to have at least 10 long-term rentals that I don't want to pretty much ever sell. That's the biggest one, real estate-wise. The second one would be just educating people. I don't know exactly how that may continue to look. Of course, it's being on this podcast, so I'm extremely grateful for that. But just being a voice for people who may think that it's not possible. And for a long time, I actually was like embarrassed and ashamed of my past, because there are so many negative connotations about people from low-income housing, the projects or whatsoever. And I would talk to people who did not know my story before I started sharing it publicly on social media. And when I heard them, for me, I said it would be a disservice not to let people know what I came from and what I went through. And if I want to be the change in the world that I want to see, then it may have to start with me. I may have to be that face or that voice for, like, you know, the poverty kids who people write off. You know, like, oh, that's just a kid from the projects. His mama, you know, was a 10th grade dropout. Like, he's going to be another statistic, you know. And for me to have people reach out and say that my story inspired them, and now being able to be speaking at conferences, I know that educating is a big part of my future. Like, yeah. I said, I don't know how that's going to look. I'll let my faith carry that out of how that looks. So I would say, you know, having my solid real estate portfolio and educating people, being a voice. You know, I relied on people like yourself to write books and read and educate. And, you know, I found you through a podcast. So, yep, have my legacy properties and educate.
Yeah, maybe you should write a book as well. I think that would really resonate with people coming from that same situation and those that aren't. I mean, your story is very inspiring to me, and I know it would inspire a lot of, I know it has inspired a lot of other people as well. I love it. I absolutely love it. And here's the thing, you know, you're always going to give yourself, there's always going to be excuses that are put in your head by the doubting part of yourself when you're trying to do something, right? If you grew up in poverty, maybe the doubt is going to be, well, you know, I don't know anyone who's even done this, right? So it's not in the cards for me. You know, you're just going to be a statistic, maybe, you hear. That's the doubt that's thrown in there. If you didn't grow up in the projects, but you grew up in a middle-class neighborhood, maybe the doubt is, nobody does this. Everybody just gets a 9-to-5 job, and nobody, when I was going into real estate, I didn't really know anybody investing in real estate. I was advised not to invest in real estate. And I didn't like the 9-to-5 world. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't for me. So there's always going to be, and then I would say, like, if you were born into massive wealth, the doubt is getting, I mean, the doubt that's put in there is, I don't need to work for money. I can do whatever I want. And, you know, and that's why you see, like, a lot of those people, they're not very successful. They don't work hard and they don't do anything with their life. It's like, there's always going to be a stumbling block in front of you based on your situation. You have to acknowledge those lies for what they are. And then you have to embrace the fact that your future and your potential is based on your actions and your hard work and that alone, and then go after it with all you got. And you will inspire people no matter where you started. You know what I mean? So I love it.
Thank you.
Yeah. So let's talk about a few of your favorite books and podcasts, and then how people can get in touch with you as we wrap the show up.
Of course. So, oh my gosh. I have,
Oh,
I
and
mean,
you're also speaking at BiggerPockets conference coming up. We want to include that too.
okay. So, I have so many books that people have recommended. Of course, I'm a favorite of Dream It and Build It, because it's straightforward.
Thank you.
I love how you're blunt about it. You're like, if you want to do this, you have to take action and you use your real life experience of growing your rental portfolio. So I would say Dream It and Build It. That's
Thank you.
definitely in my real estate investor toolbox book. Of course, everyone is a big fan of, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I would say as a third one would be Mud to Millions. It's by Aisha Soundam.
Okay.
So she is from, like a poverty area as well, and that story very much resonated. So I would say those are like my three go-to real estate books that are in my toolbox. I will be speaking at bbcon 2023, which is known as the Bigger Pockets conference. Of course, everyone is familiar with Bigger Pockets podcast. That's how I found you, Josiah. So the Bigger Pockets podcast is definitely one of my favorites. And of course, I'm glad that you brought back your podcast because I would listen to as many episodes until you took your hiatus and you came back. So I definitely like the Bigger Pockets podcast. I'm a huge fan of your podcast
Thank you.
and also the Rants and Gems show. So
Let
those
me.
three would be my top podcasts. And if you always have recommendations, I'm always open ears, because I remember you recommended so many books to me at different podcasts, and I was extremely appreciative, of that. And so I think that's where the taking action, I was like, oh my gosh, this person was on not one but two Bigger Pockets podcasts. And I found your podcast, I found your book, and I reached out to you. And, I didn't say, oh, be a mentor. I'm like, hey, what if you're in my shoes, what would you recommend?
I love that. I love that. Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to reach out to people. I mean, some people won't respond, some people will. I mean,
Yeah.
it's just again, it goes back to taking action, right? You're not going to make connections with people if you're not extending yourself and
Ex
you're doing like you're doing. You're going on podcasts, you're speaking at Bigger Pockets conference. That's going to help you connect with people. And it's kind of like a it takes a village kind of thing. Like we're all striving for the same goal here of achieving financial freedom, achieving freedom in our lives so we can do the work we love, support the ones we love, do what God called us to do with our lives. So, so there's a lot of synergy with connecting with people that are moving in the same direction and also encouraging people. And, I mean, excuse me, encouraging someone else goes a long way. So don't forget to encourage those behind you that are just starting or that are just going through what you just went through. Because like if you think about that could be you to the person above you, right? So it means a lot for me. Like Brian Murray has really helped me a lot. And he's way ahead of me, right? But and if he was only willing to work with people at his level, I would never even have a relationship with them. So make sure and help people anywhere you can, whenever you can. And I do believe that God wove a law into the universe that is what you give, you will receive exponentially more in return. And it doesn't always come back immediately or the same way you gave it. But in my own life, when I have given, it comes back exponentially. And I challenge everyone listening to this to think about that. Like when you're thinking about giving or you feel called to give towards something, don't look at it as I'm losing this. Look at it as I may not have this for a little bit, but it's likely going to come back exponentially because you can. One of my uncles says this. He says, you can't outgive God. And I truly believe that's the case because all we have is God's anyway. So,
Exactly.
yeah.
That's huge, because I've had many investors reach out to me. Usually after podcasts, you get a flux of people, and I try to respond to everybody that I can, and definitely, give back, let people, no information, you know, and because like you, it's like you reap what you sow, you know, you
exactly.
get what you put it, you get it, you get what you put into the universe, you know. And I met Brian Murray, amazing guy. I was able to get, you know, crushing in an apartment signed by him and get a and get a photo with him. I found out about him through you and stuff. And so it's just kind of like this big full circle moment of when you put out great things into the universe. You know, I remember at Bigger Pockets, he had so, Brian Murray had so many people wanting to take pictures. And, you know, when you're at conferences, they have to move the room and stuff of that nature. I literally got on knees and started taking the phones out of people's hand, because when you're at a conference, you know, if you're average, if you're an attendee, it's not like you're walking around with a social media team. So you're like, oh, can you take my picture? Can you take my picture? And so to cut down on that, I literally got on my, you know, got on my knees and just started taking the phones from people, taking the pictures. And I remember Brian was like, thank you so much, you know, for that. It's those, you know, little things that we do in life. And Bigger Pockets noticed that. They're like, oh my gosh, thank you. That helped cut down, you know, time of us trying to get him out of a certain area to, you know, flip the room for the next presentation.
Yeah,
you know, that got the attention of Bigger Pockets. I got on the, you know, podcast. Now I'm speaking, you know, like from being a person in the audience. But when I was at that conference, I tried to add as much value to every person that was there. I didn't care if they had zero doors or 1,000 doors. Hey, you know, people don't realize that, you know, we all may know something that may be the information needed to move the needle, you know. I have a huge background in student housing. I never know if I'm like a developer's gold mine. I don't own developments, but I'm a development's gold mine because I've literally been in that, you know, process.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was great being on your podcast. As far as finding me on social media, I am Lawrence_Briggs. That's common spelling, LAWRENCE _BRIGGS. Pretty much on all social media platforms. Or you can go to my website, LawrenceBriggs.com. That's LAWRENCEBRIGGS. LawrenceBriggs.com has all information about me, podcasts that I've been on, and of course, ways to connect with me.
Awesome. You guys go connect with Lawrence. And Lawrence, it's been a pleasure having you. Thank you so much for coming on the show, sharing your story. It's very inspiring. Keep up the great work. I really am excited to see where your future takes you. So keep up the good work. And guys, thanks for tuning in. And we will catch you on the next episode.